I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Juckies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Because it works, visit EMP180.com and get empowered. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Eric Bickle. That is the foursome. We were talking about this story, which came out over the weekend, that the Redskins were a player in the Joe Flacco market. Joe Flacco ultimately traded from the Ravens to the Broncos, where John Elway just mows through quarterbacks.
He does. I mean, it's kind of his specialty.
I remember the other day we were churning through them, like Case Keenum, Paxton Lynch, names we forgot.
Brock Osweiler.
We forgot Trevor Siemian.
Trevor Siemian.
It's been a bunch of guys over there.
He's ever since Peyton, he's whiffed on every single quarterback.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Could the Redskins pull this okey-doke? Convince Alex Smith to retire, okay? And then somehow that absolve them of some of this money.
Right.
And then he just signs like a personal services contract with Dan Snyder on the side where he works for one of his side companies.
Right. I would guess the NFL would not allow that.
I don't know how that would work.
Because a lot of teams would try those type of shenanigans to get around the salary
probably
cap.
Let's just do that.
I understood it as the Skins were still on the hook for the entire amount that he was owed.
Agreed.
No, I'm talking about for the cap.
Yeah, but if he retires, I think it would all accelerate into 1 year or something like that.
Is that what you read? Because I didn't read that.
I thought it just goes away. Maybe this would probably pummel them. They might just want to release him. Just, you know what? Say, you know what? He's not coming back. He wasn't that good before he broke his leg.
But you're still on the hook for that money.
Okay. But still, you know what? Just swallow it all at once. Just say, you know what? We have to take our medicine. It was bad signing. Got to move on from it. Instead of letting it linger over
your franchise.
That would
be the cut him right now.
That's what I said.
Theory.
Right.
Just
that's
cut him
I
right
just
now.
Just cut him back.
He's never playing again.
He's never playing again. It was a disaster. We made a mistake. We're just going to sever ties.
And we're just going to punt.
Well, it wasn't necessarily a mistake. It was just a bad luck.
It didn't work. Yeah.
It was a mistake. In hindsight, it was a mistake to sign Alex Smith.
It wasn't because they didn't think he could play.
And give him basically the same money that you could have given to Kirk Cousins. And I know nobody wants to rehash the whole Kirk Cousins thing.
Yeah.
But you came in and extended an old guy, and look what it got you at this point.
Right, let me just say this, though. I did want to just clarify the comparison once again with the guy who called in the previous segment to Dak. I mean, you could say what you want about Dak, and Dak is one of the most criticized quarterbacks in the league, but you'd kill for him here in Washington. Kill for him, right? Colt has started, I believe, 6 games in the last 6 years, all right?
Right.
Dak has started, I believe, 48. Started every single game he's been available for. Colt's completion percentage lifetime is 60. Dak's, while it's not lighting the world on fire, is 66. Colt's touchdown interception ratio is 29-26. Dax is 67-25. You'd kill for that production. Dax's career quarterback rating is 96. I understand a lot of quarterbacks have sort of elevated quarterback ratings these days. Colts is 78.
They're not even close. He's a better player.
He's a better player. The caller was saying, look, if we put together a great offensive line and had a legit running back like Dax had for his 3 years, then he'd be a better player. Maybe. You can't go out and acquire Zeke Elliott.
It's going to take 3 years to do that.
Dallas has him.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they have. That's their talent. They got a better offensive line, too. But bottom line is, Dak's a better quarterback than Colt.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. What do you make of this Redskins news, if you even buy it as news, or this non-story about their interest in Joe Flacco? What does it tell you?
Tells me they're open for business for anybody.
Yep.
Let's go to Rick in D.C. Rick, what's up?
Rick,
gotta turn your radio down, buddy. Poor producing.
Nah, Rick's just not up for it.
Poor producing. Blame Drabby.
Man.
Let's go to Steve, Virginia Beach.
The window over
Steve,
there.
What's up?
Steve.
Hey, you guys. First of all, in Virginia Beach, love the fact you guys are down here. So I appreciate that. But completely agree with what you were saying about don't reach for a quarterback at 15. But I think they ought to take a look at somebody like Will Grier, West Virginia. If anybody saw that Texas game that they played, I think he's got potential. He's got sort of like a Baker Mayfield attitude. The Redskins need to turn it around. I think he was like 70% completion rate. And in saying all that, I hate West Virginia. So I got to say, I think he'd be somebody to give a chance to.
I saw that game, and he was very good. But I also saw the Kansas game where he threw three picks in the end zone. So all right, it's a give or take there with Will Grier. But I get what you're saying. They're going to look at him.
Didn't you see him when you went to Alabama?
Well, yeah, he was a Senior Bowl.
Didn't they say he had a horrible Senior Bowl?
Well, I mean, no one really lit it up. But he apparently did not have a good practice leading up to the game either. I'm not
going to
put too much stock into the actual game.
Okay, but I'm just saying that the weekend, the reports out of there were that he didn't look that great.
The reports are that he had a bad week of practice, yes.
Let's go to Nick in D.C. Try Nick again. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. What do you make of the news that the Redskins were actually in on the Joe Flacco trade, dear?
Well, I wouldn't be in on the Joe Flacco trade. Number one is, how can we compare Kirk Cousins with Dak Prescott? Because Dak was a starter, and Kirk Cousins always been a backup quarterback.
You mean Colt?
And then, Colt. And then, number one is, Colt played for who? Cleveland. And Cleveland never had a team. They never had any weapons. And the same with the Redskins. I mean,
all you can do is base it on an 8-year career, though. And just basing it overall in his 8 years. The 38 games he's played, the 27 starts he's had.
So are you comfortable as a Redskins fan going with Colt McCoy as the starter week one?
Yeah, they provide him with a running game and some weapons and a big offensive line like Dak Prescott had. Dallas always had big offensive linemen ever since, Emmitt Smith?
Right.
That's
not going to happen overnight.
When healthy, the Redskins offensive line has a couple of Pro Bowlers, has Morgan Moses, who's a big offensive line. I think he's kind of a dud.
I was going to say, Brandon Scherff is not small.
Center. I mean,
these guys aren't small.
When healthy, their offensive line is okay.
They're okay. They're nothing special.
Like you said, okay, but they always were injury prone. They've never been consistent. I mean, our offensive line is there. But if they can stay healthy, and then we will have a team, and if we could continue to build, it's like every year we rebuild it because we get rid of great players. I mean, you get rid of.
I don't think the Redskins are getting rid of a lot of great players.
They haven't had great players. In fact, they haven't had all-pro player for over 20 years.
Here's the thing, Rick. These coaches, they see Colt play every day. They see him. They know what he can do. We see him every once in a while on a Sunday. We don't see him practice. The coaches know more than we do, and they don't think Colt McCoy is the starter of this team, unless he has to be. They just do.
Yeah.
They think there are better options out there.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, buddy.
Which they're tapped out.
They clearly are.
Well, I mean, look, I understand why some of the fans are frustrated. Well, just give him a chance. Well, he kind of had the chance. He's had the chance over 9 years.
There's no shame in being a career backup in the NFL. It's a great life.
And why would
he's
you trust
a great
him?
Life.
Even if he's performed, why would you trust him to be your starter when you know when he's been given the opportunity a few times here to take the job and run with it, he's gotten injured every time.
His performances have been modest at best.
But I'm saying even if his performances were really good, could you trust the guy based on his injury problem?
No.
You know what he is? Let's pull back the curtain. He's Jay Gruden's teacher's pet. He runs the offense the exact way that Jay Gruden wants it run. He does it perfectly in practice. He's perfectly cast as a career backup
and
in
yet
the league.
They still know they have to go out and get somebody.
Right. That's the exact reason they got Alex Smith, because they said, with Kirk gone, we'd have to be starting Colt McCoy. So now we're going to overpay Alex Smith to come here.
The infatuation with Colt is amazing, because to me, when
I watch him,
and I don't have a trained eye. Lollipop arm.
I don't understand it.
When he throws those down and outs, that ball is floating up there forever.
He doesn't have a big-time arm, that's for sure.
I feel bad hammering the guy. He's a nice guy.
I know he's a super nice guy. But he's a nice guy. I don't understand.
One of the great college quarterbacks of all time.
What is Jay Gruden's fascination with him? Maybe just is that
he runs his offense.
He
runs it to a T.
And he's a likable. He's a likable kid.
He's tough.
He's
a gamer.
Yeah.
He just can't stay healthy.
He's good to be on the roster, but he's just not what you want if you want to try and win a division.
Right.
All right. Let's go. Let me see.
We are crushing him.
Let's go to James in Fredericksburg. James, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
Hey, man, I think you go with Colt, man. Yeah, this team needs a lot of pieces. We need to break down and admit we need to rebuild. You trot Colt out there. If you don't get the quarterback you want in this draft,
take your lumps.
You throw Colt out there, maybe you get the guy next year. You know?
Yeah, if you want to tank a palooza.
Okay.
And win three or four games with Colt as your starter because you like what's better in the 2020 NFL draft, I'm all for it.
What happens if you don't get the quarterback next year?
Well, then there'll be another one the following year.
Yeah,
I don't think
the Redskins are willing to punt 2 years if that's what it takes.
Well, it might be a new coach by then.
Here's a bulletin.
They've probably been punting
the last 20 years. Right. So what's another two years?
See, that's the other thing is Jay Gruden, if he goes after this year, well, Colt's probably going.
Right. Right.
Certainly as a starter.
And he'll wind up wherever Jay Gruden winds up, probably as the backup.
But I don't think
the
Redskins are going to do that. I don't think that's the direction they're going
to
take.
How much was Flacco set to make? Is it set to make like $18 million, or is it more than that?
I think it was 18 and 20.
I think it was 2 years at about $40 million, roughly.
And then what is Foles going to get, are they saying?
They're speculating about that, maybe more.
So I don't see why they won't be in the market. I fully expect them now to be in the market for Foles, whereas I didn't last week. This news surprised me.
Yep.
I figured that they were just going to quietly just take their lumps with Colt.
Let's do one more before the break.
Let's go to Gus Alexandria. Gus, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think, you know, I heard before that they always kick the tires, the Redskins do when it comes to things like this. My only hope was, and I'm giving the front office way too much credit, is that they were just pushing the market so that they have Denver fall out of being contention for one of those quarterbacks in the first round, even though they still may take one, even with Flacco there. I'm down with Colt. I mean, I'm just ready to, you know, go ahead with the season anyways with whatever lack of quarterback we'll get. I still think we need to get someone in, like, the fourth round or third round because we'll still need a backup in the future because I don't think we're going to keep having to re-sign Colt after this year.
I'm hearing such apathy from the fans. I'll just go with Colt. Think about the home opener this year, how disappointed they were, and that was against Andrew Luck and the Colts, but they didn't sell out the home opener.
Mm-hmm.
And the attendance only got worse throughout the year. If they don't get your guy Kyler Murray to drum up some excitement, it is going to be
He's the only reason to go to games next year. Yeah. He's the only reason to go to games.
It could be brutal.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do.
And they're not going to do it. They're not going to pull the trigger. They're going to have to move up. They don't want to, and I don't necessarily blame them.
Caps with the big win last night. They beat the LA Kings 3-2. Alex Ovechkin, not one, but two power play goals from his office. We'll talk to Alan May, covers the Caps for NBC Sports Washington next here on the Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I was just a little confused because I was waiting for Alan May's walk-up.
Oh, that's right. We don't have him on yet. That's why.
Oh.
Dan and Shay Tequila, correct?
I don't even know who it is.
Drab was flaming me about his workout.
Oh, he was? Yeah. Really?
What did his workout entail?
200 push-ups a day.
Well, that's pretty good.
That's good. Did you guys see the story that was out that went viral this weekend?
The 40 push-ups?
I immediately dropped.
Oh, you did?
And I knocked out 42, and I was like, you know what? I could do more. And then I did 43, and I said, okay, I'm good. So here's the story. Did you see it, Cakes?
I did not.
So they found that men that can do over 40 push-ups at one time, you're 96% less likely to die of heart disease
than someone.
How do you figure that out?
I don't know that I can do 40 in a stride. I can do like 20 plus, 40.
Than someone that can do only 10 or less than 40.
Right.
So you got to be able to knock out 40.
I got
to
work my way
so
up
I immediately dropped.
So 39 doesn't get you to 96%?
You might get you to 94%.
About 25. About 25 to 28.
And you're 50-50.
Nah, it's not good. I don't like those odds.
I was butt-sized I ripped
out. I'm guessing our next 42. Guest, he could probably do like 100 straight push-ups. It's Alan May. He's brought to you by the D.C. Lottery, where winning never felt so good. Play the new Washington Capitals 2018 Stanley Cup champion scratcher today. You could win $50,000 instantly. What's up, Alan? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. And yeah, I could do 40 push-ups.
You could probably do 400 straight push-ups. I mean, you're in remarkable shape.
I warm up with 50 push-ups every time I go to the gym.
That's pretty good. Just to,
yeah. And it's just a lifetime of doing that, though, because I've seen Obi do hundreds of squats with weights on his back, and he's a freak, but I'm not a freak like that. The guy's absolutely amazing.
By the way, Alan, this is not Capitals-related, but I'm sure you saw the video of the puck that nearly took off Pierre Maguire's head when he's basically between the benches, kind of the spot you're at for NBC Sports Washington. How many close calls have you had with pucks whizzing by your head?
The very first game I ever did, there used to be a split in the door that I walk in there. There was a gap about, I'd say, 3 inches. Not wide enough for the puck to go through on its own if it's just level. But when it goes and curves itself and goes on end, it came right through my very first game playing the New Jersey Devils. But I pay attention in there. I watch the puck pretty much 99.9% of the time. I keep my eye on the puck. I turn away. I hide behind Ken Sabert all the time. So he's probably going to get it before me. But it the very first game, so I think that was a good lesson for me not to take my eyes off the puck. Last night, I just saw that clip that looked like Pierre wasn't paying attention in there, and he got really lucky.
What would it be weird to request a helmet for that spot? Because that's what I would do. I would just say, I need a helmet to work in this hazardous workplace.
You know what? I think the day the guy who's doing the broadcast with a helmet on down there, I think it's the same day the coaches are wearing helmets on the bench. Right. It's not going to happen.
All right. So, 4 games on this road trip after the 6-game homestand. They're 2-2. Had a couple nice wins. Well, one real nice win against San Jose. I think we talked about that game before they played. And then I didn't see the game, but apparently they looked like butt. Yeah, against Anaheim, and they had to beat the Kings. The Kings aren't very good. You got to beat them, even though it was a back-to-back. What's your assessment of the team in the last 3 or 4?
Well, they're inconsistent. I think Walker said it a few times last night. They're consistently inconsistent right now. But you know what? On the road, it's a different animal. You've got to survive the first 10 minutes of every game. In Columbus, it was the first time I'll give them all year that they looked exhausted. And they go into San Jose, a place where they've hardly ever won. In the San Jose franchise history, the Caps have hardly ever won in San Jose. And it was the first game that I saw them put the defensive boots on. And they did a pretty good job. I think it was after the first 10 minutes of the game they really got their act together defensively and started protecting Holtby. And then in Anaheim, I don't know who that was, but they played sloppy. There was a gap between the forwards and the D. And then I think it was kind of the slap in the face like they got in Columbus a week before. And last night, they go out against L.A., the same thing. They got slapped by Anaheim. They went out there, and they survived somehow the first 10 minutes. Anaheim had the first, 5 grade-A scoring chances about the first 10 minutes of the game. A couple should have definitely been in the net. And Ovi takes over, and then you play with confidence, and you're able to play your defensive game and just keep the game simple the rest of the night. So it's been hit or miss, but the encouraging thing is 2 of the last 3 games, they've played defensive hockey for 50 minutes. You're not going to expect it for 60 right now, but they're getting closer to that team that we saw late last year. If they can continue to play defensive hockey, to me, that's their key. They only had, I think, 10 hits last night. I think the key for them is just taking ice away and checking the puck, not necessarily checking the bodies.
Alan, you mentioned the Shark Tank being a tough spot for the Caps to win over the years. I didn't realize that the Caps hadn't won at Staples since 2005 before last night's win. So that was a pretty momentous win for them on the West Coast, a place they've struggled.
Oh, it's huge. When you look back, a lot of times, back when I played, every team in the National Hockey League that wasn't in the same division, well, even the teams that were in the same division as the Kings, used to use the L.A. game as a vacation because it was the only warm spot in the league that basic compared to everywhere else. And teams would stay there for about a week, and then they'd get their asses kicked. They'd always play on a Saturday night after getting there on Sunday or Monday, and they're not skating for 3 days, and probably lots of drinks by the pool, and teams used to get murdered. And now, they squeeze those games in. The Caps, usually went back to back with the Caps in San Jose over the years. So I always think that it, you know, you're getting used to the time change. Not making excuses, but the older I get, the more I feel the time change. And you know, as an athlete, you're trying to get the mind and body, you know, to coordinate. And teams were getting murder out there. And for, you know, I think about 8 or 9 years, they called it murderer's row going out to San Jose, Anaheim, and LA. Teams were just getting thumped. And now LA and Anaheim are two of the worst teams in the league when it comes to scoring goals. You're near the bottom of the barrel with wins, with everything. Power play, penalty kills, both suck. So, you know, you should be able to win one of those, and the Caps normally win one of the games on that road trip.
I know we've talked about this with you in the past, but where are you now with the Caps and faceoffs? Because they have struggled all season.
Well, you know, the guy who has having the toughest time this year is Evgeny Kuznetsov. When you watch on a nightly basis, he's the guy that gets thumped more than anyone. So if you took a lot of his faceoffs out of the average would be different. And, you know, teams get that momentum. The players check the stats between periods. And, you know, he was a winger when he first got here. So everything was a battle the first year. Like, you know, they couldn't, you know, put him in a lot of situations. And Trotz was trying to teach him how to play center, and he played a very defensive brand of hockey the first year under Trotz. And then I think that's the year let it go in the playoffs. He kind of tore it up. But, you know, I think you take his numbers out of there, they're closer. But, you know, Backe's cruising around 50%, which is what you want everyone to do. And then after that, yeah, I think Kuznetsov's way down, you know, 35%. I don't want to go any lower than that because I can't remember right now. And then Dowd, you know, going into last night, he was at like 49.5. So you take the Kuzi out of there, and it's not so bad, but it's something that they'll have to address. You know, like Tom Wilson, I think last night, or maybe it was an Anaheim. I'm starting to get my numbers mixed up because I got in so late last night. But it was like Wilson was perfectly clean on the draw, you know, 3-0. And, you know, that helps. But, you know, knowing that Kuzi's going to lose the draw, I'd like to know what the possession time is in the offensive zone when they do lose the draw because they are applying pressure after that loss.
Joined by Alan May from NBC Sports Washington. Ovi with 17 points, 9 goals, and 8 assists in his last 11 games. He leads the NHL in goals by 6 over Patrick Kane. He's 33 now. Can he play at this level into his late 30s, in your opinion? Maybe even to 40. I don't even know. He's getting better with age. It's unbelievable.
Hey, he's a freak, and I would not have expected this when I started my job 10 years ago. I would not have expected him to be able to continue to do this because a drop-off with players over 30, and that's why I love what he's doing because the analytics crowd that doesn't pay attention enough to the game, this guy is way more efficient than he's ever been. You know, and the team's not a perfect defensive business this year by any means. But Ovi's a guy that's really, you know, he's listened to the coaches, whoever they are, good or bad. He's done what they've told him to do. And he's continued to find a way to score goals. He's got his shot is the best in the game. You have to say that because he's the guy that scored the most goals. If you went back to the first game of his career, no one scored more. If you went back 5 years ago, no one scored more. And he continues to find a way over 30 to pop him in the net. And it's just absolutely phenomenal what he's been able to do. There's no explaining, but it's just he's just one of the all-time greats when it comes to shooting the puck. And, you know, that's his weapon. That's the oxygen of his game. When the shot goes, I think we see Ovi go.
But he hasn't even really changed anything, right? Still kind of the same guy. Maybe he's being more efficient, right?
Well, he doesn't hit as much as he used to. You know, we used to love it. He'd get 8 to 10 hits a game, lead the league in hits for forwards. And, you know, sometimes, you know, all the coaches loved it. But what they didn't realize, some of these guys, and that's why they weren't the coaches anymore, is that it was also putting them out of position. If you went into Tom Wilson's right-wing corner and got the hit, the way the Caps were playing defense back then, no one was filling the Ovi lane on the other side of the ice. Now the team's more responsible if he did do that. But a lot of times we call it taking ice. You skate forwards, you can't make a hit, you can't get there quite, or you think you're going to put yourself out of position. You just hit the brakes and start skating backwards into the neutral zone like they did in the playoffs last year. And so if he's not certain he can get to those hits, he backs off. Now, if he goes and makes that hit and the puck moves before he gets there, he still finishes his guy, pushes his guy backwards, and then beats him up the ice. So it's a lot different how he's playing the game than he used to. If he was still killing guys every night, I don't think he'd be scoring goals right now, and he'd probably have way more injuries. I think the body would take its toll if he was doing the lead the league in hits all the time.
By the way, Alan, did you see what the score after the first period of the Ottawa-Chicago game was last night?
Yeah, I kept checking all the goals. I love games like that. That reminded me of growing up with the Oilers as a kid. They used to win a lot of 8-6, 8-7 type of games, and you know, Gretzky'd have 5 points a night, and that's right. Explains the 200-point seasons back then.
Right, 9 goals in the first period. All right, real quick, so they played Anaheim and L.A., both teams at the bottom of their standings. Both teams had losing records at home. Now we're going to flip the script. They're going to play Toronto and Buffalo. Both have almost identical records at home. Also have 17 wins just like the Caps do. So very good at home. Kind of handicap these two games. What problems do Toronto and Buffalo give us?
Well, I'll go back on the two teams we just played. The Anaheim team fired their coach last week. The general manager became the coach. They're 2-1 with the new guy, if my memory serves me correct. LA is just kind of a disaster. They have 3 part-time defensemen playing for them. It reminds me of the year that the Caps had 14 defensemen playing for them. So you knew that they were going to win one of those games, or they better win one of those games. But going into Toronto, I think with a couple days off here, they'll have a better mindset Thursday night of what they need to do. And the number one thing there is to get in front of the puck. The last time they went in there, they were in a free fall somewhat. And last game before the break, a lot of mental distraction. And once they got behind, it just became an absolute disaster. And Toronto's fans in Toronto, you know, they act like they win the Stanley Cup anytime they play the Caps. And, you know, it's probably the third or fourth time they won the Stanley Cup this year. So the Caps have to go into that game with the mindset of they've got to check the puck, be very disciplined. And I think they're at that point now where they realize they're going to go in there fresh. They're going to leave San Jose today, you know, sometime this morning. You're going to spend the entire afternoon on the plane. And they get there, they're going to be able to put a lot more thought into that game. And I think it's going to be a lot different look for the Caps when they go in there and play. And then Buffalo is a team that the Caps, no matter what's going on, when they go into Buffalo, they play a very strong game. It doesn't matter who's on either team, what the standings are. And the Caps, I expect, will go in there and do the same thing. They'll try to be a defensive team, take advantage of the young Buffalo Sabres offense, and make their mistakes, you know, go against them. So that's really what they need to do against both these teams. And the defense in Toronto is really bad. The forwards are fast. They're dynamic. But when they don't have the puck, they're kind of a disaster. And they'll want to put a show in the home at home, and the Caps need to just play very defensive in those two games. And if they do, I think the Caps that we saw last spring are officially back, and they're going to start playing that brand every single night, pretty much every single night at least.
Joined by Alan May, Capitals analyst for NBC Sports Washington, and we're now 9 or 10 days away from the NHL trade deadline. Do you have a prediction as to what the Capitals will do come trade deadline?
Well, the guy I really wanted for the Caps is gone. Nashville got him, and it was a big guy that could play center wing, and Brian Boyle, 6'7", pretty decent skater, has really good playoffs every year, one of the best faceoff guys in the league. And I think he could have really put pressure on the guys on the third line, the fourth line. You can throw them on the power play down near the net when you're having a tough time getting pucks down there. And I still believe that they need to get a versatile forward that's a bottom six guy, but hopefully a top nine guy at the same time. There's a couple of those guys around, but it's got to be a skill player. And then, you know, the wish list, of course, at this point, they're going to want something to do with the faceoffs because they don't want to talk about it all the time. If they could put a faceoff killer out there, they can still play the game. That's a guy they want. I would still think they need another NHL caliber defenseman, a guy with great wheels, because the game keeps going to skating. And that's where some of these teams in the Eastern Conference have made the jump in the standings, is that they can skate a lot better than they could before. And these players are getting now aren't just guys you look at and they skate and do nothing. They're guys that skate, have a brain, are intelligent hockey players, and they can get things done out there, not just skate around and waste your time and annoy the hell out of you. So I still think they need another defenseman. I don't know if it can be a top four guy. They're hard to find, but there's, you know, by the weekend, there should be more teams out of the playoffs. And I'd expect on an off day, you know, wouldn't be surprised if Brian pulls the trigger on something like that.
All right, Alan. Always great talking to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay. Take care, guys.
All right.
That's Alan May, brought to you by the DC Lottery, where winning never felt so good. Play the new Washington Capitals 2018 Stanley Cup champion Scratcher today, and you could win $50,000 instantly. Coming up at 9:20, Jesse Dougherty from the Washington Post. He covers the Nationals coming up.
Are we
going to
get a Bryce update, you think?
I doubt we'll get a Bryce update, but we can find out what's going on with the Nats. Coming up next, a nightmare for parents.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, I think between the four of us, we've got 11 kids.
Yeah, that's correct. That's right.
Unless somebody had a new one recently.
Nope, no additions over
that
here.
That we know about.
Yeah.
I'm out of that contest. And I don't know when challenges became like popular on social media. I remember I did the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did that too.
That was several years ago.
Yep.
And occasionally those things.
That was for ALS awareness.
Right. But occasionally those things go the other way where you hear about these challenges and then you're supposed to warn your kids.
Like
don't
the
do
cinnamon
the,
challenge.
Or the sure. Tide Pod thing.
Like, what was the Tide Pod challenge? You're supposed to eat it?
Yeah, I think kids were eating Tide Pods.
They were? Yeah. Oh, that's right. I didn't remember that. Yep.
Yeah. And then
they were just vomiting all over the place.
I don't know why you would eat one. They're butt expensive. You should use it for your laundry. Right. Okay.
The latest is called the 48-hour challenge, which encourages teens to stage disappearances. Could you imagine dealing with that nightmare?
You know, I saw the story over the weekend, and I almost considered bringing it up with my kids, but it would be an insult to them because they know that's stupid.
Right.
They
yeah,
know.
They have to know.
They know that I would kill them
yeah,
if they did that.
Say authorities in Indiana said on Monday, teens rack up points in the challenge as news of their disappearance spreads on social media.
Right.
Just show
according to the sheriff, the challenge encourages teens to go missing for up to 2 days at a time and awards points for every social media mention while they're missing.
Just have to show them
who
True
started
Detective.
This.
I don't know. Some
who started
some maniac.
But what do you get?
And who encourages
anyway,
it?
Anyway, so you get a social media mention. Is there like a cash prize at the end of
no,
all these challenges?
Probably not. No.
You get attention dollars.
Not like there's a sponsor.
It's just, all about attention.
It's all
dollars.
About ADs. Now, I don't know how rampant it is. What, did three people do it, and now they're saying it's sweeping the country?
I don't know how many people are doing
it. Do we have any incidents of it happening here?
I haven't heard
in
it.
In the DMV, in this area?
Awful parents with no, or awful kids with no direction because they got awful parents.
Yeah. I think that's you nailed
how,
it.
That's how I nail it down.
I mean, if
any kid who thinks that's fun and interesting, they weren't brought up right. Poor direction in their
and
life.
They're all just completely selfish, not thinking about their parents.
Look at
all.
How it's ripped apart the Purcell family in Arkansas.
Right.
Everybody's distraught.
That wasn't a 48-hour challenge.
It wasn't 48-hour, much longer than 48
I believe
hours.
The Purcell family is cooked.
It's looking that way.
48-year challenge.
Yeah, pretty much.
Tom Dunn.
Dunn. So
Lucy
Dunn. So not a suicide from Tom Purcell.
I mean, Julie, I guess, is still out there.
She's still out there. That's true.
Will Dunn.
Yep.
Well, I listen.
The cousin dead in a quarry.
I don't think this is a big thing. I mean, maybe it is in some areas. I can't imagine any of our children doing that. I just can't imagine it.
No, of course not.
I can imagine my kids doing a lot of stupid things, but that's not one of them.
Like disappearing for 48 hours.
Disappearing and knowing what. I mean, my kids, I mean, I have them on a tracker. I know where they are at all times.
Right.
If they tried to disappear, they know they'd be doomed.
I've never done the tracker.
Yeah.
I do it every day.
I like it. You know, I know where my kids are at all times.
I want to know where they are.
Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with knowing where your kids are, especially when they're driving.
It's called frankly, effective parenting.
And especially when they're driving.
It's good for them to know that you know where they are, too.
Correct.
You know, kind of keeps them in check a little bit.
I think so. But there's no chance our kids would ever do anything like this.
Well,
no.
I don't want to sit here and be pleading for my kids' whereabouts in 2 days.
I mean, right.
Our kids do some stupid things, but nothing on that level.
Yeah, I would be flabbergasted, stunned. And frankly, if they did do that, I'd tell the cops to haul them away and throw them in jail and throw whatever charges they need to catch for that.
The worst thing one of my kids has done recently was fart in the movie theater. That was just awful.
That's fine. Oh, what are you going to do?
Wrong with that. I'm late to this, and I saw this story came out in like 2017, and we probably mentioned it. But I happened to see a clip of Bill Gates talking about cow farting and how that's supposedly terrible for the environment.
Okay.
Have you guys?
No.
Have you looked into this at all?
No.
Like, I'm not big on climate change. Like, I'm sure the climate is changing, but I'm just not an expert on it. I don't know anything about it. I literally know nothing about it.
We're just getting hotter.
But supposedly.
Or colder.
Cow flatulence.
Mm-hmm.
Is a significant factor into the methane production, which greatly contributes to
methane.
The greenhouse. Methane, I don't know what it is. Methane to the greenhouse effect.
Okay. I don't know anything about it.
And how are you going to stop cows from farting? Cows farting and burping.
You can't.
You can. It's impossible to stop.
That's just God's way of just saying we're eventually all going to check out.
Yeah, but that's probably a million years down the line. What are we going to care about that
If you Google cow flatulence, it's not a new story.
No.
It came out a couple years ago.
I think that's where the vegans of the world believe that we shouldn't be meat eaters, that eventually we should eliminate cows.
Right.
And that's what we are doing. We're eliminating them for our food source.
What about the 7 billion humans ripping poops all day long?
That's what I wonder.
Is a cow fart worse than a drab fart?
Their flatulence is different than our flatulence. Now, I would argue the one I just ripped a couple hours ago, worse than any cow.
That would destroy the ozone.
Yeah. I think I'm somewhat.
Yeah, but at least it was semi-contained.
What did you eat last night? We haven't played what did you eat last night for a while.
The dinner game.
I don't know.
What did you have that's.
You know what I had for dinner? Because I spent money all weekend. Cereal. I came home from the tournament, and I had cereal.
Right, you were felted.
And then I topped it off with a beer, with a Corona Light.
That sounds delicious.
That's the worst combo.
Pour the Corona Light into your cereal.
That's what I had.
Did you at least have sugary cereal?
That's a terrible combination.
Didn't have it at the same time.
I know, I'm just the taste. Even if it was an hour.
You went from milk
you won't
to
even
beer.
Like that. I mix my cereals, which is my new bit lately. Because I like to have a little Raisin Bran in there because I feel like it's healthy, the brand. It
helps your flatulence.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the Raisin's loaded with sugar.
Then I threw Cinnamon Toast Crunch on top.
More sugar.
Yeah. And then I had the soy milk with it, so I didn't have regular milk.
I would have done the almond milk.
Yeah.
The almond milk, I think it's the same thing. I don't know. I don't know the difference. I guess I had almond milk. Almond milk.
Vanilla flavored.
See, trying to eliminate cows that way, too.
Light vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I finished that, I had two bowls. And later I had Corona Light. And then I ripped just the worst smell you've ever.
Did you put a lime in the Corona?
No, I don't bother with that.
Oh, I do. If I get the Corona, I definitely buy the lime.
I don't bother with that. I don't need any of that.
I had swordfish and broccoli last night.
Did you?
I had.
Pretty good.
Salmon.
I put Frank's hot sauce on my swordfish.
Was it Tilly?
It was good.
Kind of a weird combo.
What does swordfish go for when you get at the store?
I don't know. It's frozen.
It's probably about like 10 bucks a pound or something.
I was going to say 7, but.
I'm guessing that's expensive.
It's
cheap.
Yeah.
Especially at Harris Teeter. Not cheap at Harris Teeter.
Salmon, swordfish, I think that's usually in the same ballpark. Now, you want to get cheap fish? Tilapia.
That's a trash fish.
Tilapia or what's the other one?
Cod, maybe?
Cod
Catfish,
is very cheap.
Garbage, bottom feeder.
I'll never eat catfish.
I like tilapia, though. I mean, I never make it at home, but when I
restaurants, I'll get tilapia
like
a lot. It's cheap, though.
It is.
It's like, you know what? It's hard $4 a pound or something.
I'd rather eat tilapia
tacos.
Than salmon. Just personal preference.
No.
Salmon pummels tilapia.
I'm a big salmon guy.
Salmon,
I bet so
way
much salmon
higher.
Lately.
I don't like Tim that much.
Oh, Tim is so much.
Tim is offered at a wedding. I always opt for the steak.
Oh, really? I'm a huge Tim Salmon guy. Huge. But you know what I had this weekend? 3 days of it. It was my lucky meal.
Hold up. Wait, I could probably guess because you said you went to Clyde's. So it wasn't part of Clyde's?
No, not part of Clyde's. I'm saying it was part of the convention center offerings.
Ballpark type fare.
Well, better than that. I would say it was better than that. They have like a kitchen there where they were dishing out
food.
You've
been big on poke bowls lately.
No, if they had poke bowls, I would have got that every
day. You had like a club sandwich.
No. Jerk chicken. I had jerk chicken with yellow rice on some lettuce and a mango. Some sort of mango dressing.
Right.
Mango vinaigrette. It was called a mango vinaigrette dressing.
Chicken.
And it was unbelievable, and I had it 3 straight days in a row, and the kids went 8-0 while I had those
meals. That meal would put me into the hospital, maybe into a coffin.
How much does jerk chicken at the convention center go for?
$13.
Oh,
jeez. $13 a
chicken.
Pop.
That's pricey.
And I got it for my daughter every time, too. So it was $26 every
Love
time.
Love Jamaican food.
And yeah. cereal.
Yeah. Then we went to...
By the time it's Sunday night, cereal time.
Oh, yeah. And then I was perfectly happy staying at the hotel. We were at the Hotel Monaco with the Queen. But my wife thought maybe my daughter and I wouldn't have enough room for both of us and with me and a queen, you know, her and I and a queen. So she upgraded us to the King and a roll. She added an extra $100 each night to the bill. I said,
so what
are you
was
doing?
That, about $450 a night?
No, I can't remember. I think it was maybe, ended up being, when it's all said and done, I think it was about $250 a night, which is not bad,
that's not bad
downtown. But it could have been $150 or less.
I would have thought a lot more.
Yeah,
the Monaco.
Could have been a lot less. We just had the Queen.
You're all right. We're going to have to work till we're 80.
I'm never going to be able to retire. What we do at my house is we light money on fire.
Just
come on over and take your money and just throw it in the fire.
Sounds like it.
It's a constant burn. It never stops burning.
The eternal flame.
You should be warmer then.
It's like when you go to the cemetery with the eternal flame, right? We should have a guard there.
Cemetery.
This is the Bickles burning money. Just a constant burn.
Well, I might be able to give you guys money if ICPT still is going to do what it's supposed to do today.
I saw it's up 20% pre-market.
Let's hope. I want that market open with the
Why
quickness.
Why don't you sell?
Yeah, you do.
Well, let's see what it does at 9:30.
Because is that considered pharmaceutical tech? Is that what that is? Is
it pharmaceutical? It's a pharmaceutical company.
It's a pharmaceutical stock for sure.
Yeah,
correct.
But I've heard those companies can fluctuate
wildly.
Oh, believe
me,
it does.
They can actually go under overnight.
Believe me, it does.
Why is it up? Did they come up with some sort of innovation?
Like, there's like these three drugs that they've come out with that have been approved.
And their names are?
Can't help you on that.
What are the after hours trading? Pre-market. Oh, 139. So it's up like
139.
That's what I see right now.
I bought it at 98.
Yeah. Dude, why don't you just sell it right now?
I might. I'm gonna talk to my guy at 10 o'clock.
You get out of it.
No, you need to sell.
200. The target. 200. The guy on Wall Street said the target's 167. So there's a price target.
Target was 50,000.
Hey, Bitcoin rally. Bitcoin was close to 4,000 last night.
Oh, really?
Have fun with that.
Was down to like 3,200 before.
All right, remember, coming up at 9:20, Jesse Dougherty is going to give us the latest on the Washington Nationals. Maybe some Bryce Harper news, although I wouldn't hold my breath
on that.
Not going
to happen while we're on the show.
Coming up next, we'll get into some celebrity scoop with the entertainment page here on The Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.